Hogan, the Devil's Advocates. And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. James Santel sticking around, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours. Appreciate it, Jim, as always. I want to dovetail a little bit on that before we move on to talk a little bit about this pardon issue. Certainly unlikely, I guess, is what I'm hearing from you, Jim. But if it were to be the case that there were some sort of pocket pardons that people were holding, when would we find that out? At what point would we discover that we can't charge them with something? I mean, how would that play out, Jim?
Sure. Again, hypothetically, if there are these secret pardons out there kept in some vault in somebody's basement somewhere, what you would do, of course, is the first time that you are approached by a federal prosecutor against a federal case, right? A state does not apply to state prosecutions. And someone says to you, Mr. Santel, we're going to charge you with these crimes. If your lawyer is wise, he or she immediately says, well, wait a minute, there is a pardon here for this specific event. It's got to be specific as to the thing you're being charged with or allegedly having been done. And then you bring it out at that point. You could do it any time, but plainly you want to stop the prosecution from the start. So the moment I would say that you are told, advised that you are going to be charged, you would do it. Certainly, if a grand jury returns an indictment, if I were defending them and I had one of these quiet, secret pocket pardons out there, at the time of the arraignment and plea, I would stand up and say, Your Honor, my client has a document here, and it basically prohibits the further prosecution of this case. Now, what would happen, of course, next is that court would plainly take a look at. I'm sure the prosecution would then challenge that. And that's when you get into the legitimacy. Where did this document come from? What time was it written? We need witnesses. We need to know exactly the hour, the time, the place. Where has it been for the past 2.5 years? What are the circumstances of it? There's something about it. It's got to be legitimate. Short of that, frankly, everybody, maybe not everybody, but lots of people on Capitol Hill, lots of people in the Trump ambit would right now be organizing, as they probably did with the false electors, documents that look an awful lot like a pardon, but in fact are not it. So you still have that question about legitimacy, and that's why I'm still skeptical about there being out there could be a possibility.
Okay, so once they're charged, and that would take some time, obviously. We don't know where any of this is at right now. We're still hearing from the J6 committee, and it could take some time for that to happen. But once they're charged, then the legitimacy of the pardon itself would be challenged. But if it's found to be upheld as a true pardon, Jim, couldn't they just say, oh, okay, well, you're pardoned for this. Now you must come in and testify because now you gave away all your Fifth Amendment rights, right?
That is precisely it. That is precisely it. Again, the pardon would need to describe exactly what this was for. The prosecution and that have got to be married up. But that means that the day after that, if I were the assistant U.S. attorney who had been confronted with this pocket pardon at the time of the arraignment and plea, I would say, all right. And I'm convinced that it's realistic. It's real. The next day, we ask the grand jury to issue a grand jury subpoena. And in that setting, you no longer have a Fifth Amendment right as to those matters. If you choose, if you decide not to testify still, then you are in contempt of the grand jury, and we know where that goes. Then that's a separate criminal prosecution. So this does not get you out from under everything. It's simply, as I said, if it's real, it keeps you individually out of prison for this specific thing, the specific item, time, place that's described in that document. It's a fascinating concept.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You're fascinated. I can tell you're listening along with James Santel, our fine guest, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours. Jim, got to ask you about the Cassidy Hutchinson testimony in regards to former White House counsel, Pat Cipollone. And Pat was adamant that the president, Trump at the time, couldn't go to the Capitol. That if he went to the Capitol, they'd be charged with every crime under the sun, basically. Trump wanted desperately, if you believe the testimony, and I do, to go to the Capitol. And I have heard it speculated. The only thing this coup attempt lacked for was Trump at the point of the coup. If Trump had gone to the Capitol, in all probability, the coup may have been successful. Jim, what's your opinion of this testimony given by Hutchinson regarding Cipollone and of course Trump's complete and utter disdain for that legal advice, because he didn't care what laws he was breaking. He wanted to successfully retain power. He wanted a successful coup, Jim.
Right. Just as a predicate to this, that had to be the most difficult job in government, being Donald Trump's White House counsel during this period. Not that we need to have pity on Pat Cipollone, but nonetheless, an incredibly difficult job. As I was listening to the testimony yesterday, I was harkening back again. You recall at the end of one of the previous hearings by this J6 committee, at the very end, Liz Cheney said, there was a brief, I don't know, two or three sentence statement by her about Pat Cipollone. And she said, you know what? He's got to come forward. He's got to tell us he is the guy who's got to come forward. And I thought that's interesting that you would add that on to this. And then the explanation for it came once again yesterday, showing to me that these people have got their act together and they know exactly what they're doing. And my other takeaway from yesterday was, again, I'm absolutely convinced that with respect to the others, even the chief of staff and others who have been around him, you've got a very strong case. I'm not indicating that Pat Cipollone himself may have some criminal culpability here, but it strikes me that he is the one person now that if he has not testified, he needs to do that. And I think that Liz Cheney and others have tweeted about that too. He needs to come forward. And not only because there's no privilege here. There's nothing here to hide behind anymore. He's got two other purposes and two other reasons for doing this. One is he's a lawyer. He has an obligation about the truth. And second, he is an American citizen and has an obligation now to tell us also what happened at the highest levels of government at a time when our government was almost overthrown. Pat Cipollone needs to come forward. He's the only remaining person, I suspect, that the committee is really not having it yet, has its hands around, has its hands around him right now.
Sort of Trump style, like a limousine driver.
Right, exactly.
Jim Santel, we keep pulling you back in, man. I got a few more questions for you on the other side, if you'll be generous enough to stick around. But it's before I let you go this hour, I had Josh Call, the Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin, on earlier this week. I asked him whether there was an active state-level investigation of the false, the fraudulent Trump electors. And he said, you know, can't talk about active investigations, but effectively we know there's a federal investigation going on, so can't talk about it. No, it's multi-jurisdictional. We saw what Nessel had to say in Michigan, the attorney general there. She thought it broke both state and federal crimes. Jim, where do you think the appropriate place is? Should our attorney general be seeking prosecutions of the false Trump electors in Wisconsin? To your opinion, sir.
Right. And my own sense, and I think I've described this before, is that this event, this putting together documents that were not on their face conditional, even though I know that was the defense of the electors. They were told, gosh, this will only be implicated. We won't bring these forward unless indeed the entire process gets thrown into confusion here. That defense, I think, falls on its face as being ridiculous. The documents themselves are significant. They plainly were attempt to do something contrary to the best interests of our nation. They were plainly attempted to undermine this process.
Jim Santel, I'm going to put you down for lock him up. Lock him up. More of our fine guest, Jim Santel. The Happier Happy Hour starts right now.
Stand back and stand by.
Why don't you stop talking for a while?